Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of I Could Talk Kayfabe. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And this week's issue, Victory Sports Series Inside Wrestling from February 1988.
Why are some of these Victory Sports and why are they not?
I don't know.
It's the same company. It's
from the publishers of Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Just say that.
I want to talk about how I found this magazine before we talk about the cover. I follow an Instagram account called The Glory Days of Wrestling, and they took a photo of their cover of this. Or maybe they just found it online. I don't know. But that's how I saw this. And I was like, I have to get this magazine. And I immediately went to eBay and bought this magazine on eBay because
I saw it. Did you buy just this book or does it come in a lot?
This actually, so the guy who was selling this was, he had a bunch of magazines up. So I bought like four other magazines and combined shipping. So technically there were different auctions, but it was all from one guy in a lot.
Ah, I dig it.
And, the reason why I bought this magazine is now we'll talk about the cover because it has Macho Man Randy Savage and he's flexing his arm, but it has a special analysis by Jesse Ventura. Randy Savage has wimped out, and I had to buy it just for that because I needed to see what Jesse Ventura had to say. And it's also kind of rare that a WWF guy would be doing a column in an after mag.
Do we think that this is really Jesse or this is somebody writing as Jesse?
I gotta say it's probably Jesse. I don't think they would go on and do that. They wouldn't.
Considering that they write pretty much fanfic anyways.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this is Bill Apter as Jesse writing for
this. You think it's Bill Apter? Because I think it's Jesse as Jesse.
Hmm.
And because Jesse,
here's the thing, I could see Jesse doing it.
Yeah. And Jesse at this time wrote for WWF Magazine. He had his article Body Language every month, his column. So it's kind of interesting that not only did WWF let him do it, but it's there. Like it's here. It's in Inside Wrestling. It's just bizarre. You don't see WWF guys doing guest columns in after mags.
No.
And in this case you do. And I had to I jumped on it. As soon as I saw it, I was like, wow, that's a thing. I need to have it. And I got it.
Nice. So, well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
Because it's still only 175.
Only 175 in red. With white fonts in the corner, only $1.75, $2.25 Canadian.
So Jesse Ventura tells us why Randy has wimped out. And then underneath that, we got a picture of the Tully and Arn beating up on Ricky Morton. Says, Tully and Arn take the NWA belt. It's time for the Rock and Roll Express to split up. And I do want to point out this picture. It's awesome because it's a double team. It looks like Ricky's being backdropped by Tully and Arn's grabbing him or something. But that's exactly what's happening is Tully picks up the, Ricky, and Arn grabs him in the front face lock for the gourd buster, and Tully pushes him up and Arn drops him in the gourd buster.
Yeah.
And Tully pushes him up and releases him and Arn finishes the move. And I just saw this on a squash match.
Okay.
On NWA because I've been watching that on the network. And it's fucking cool. And I don't know why more people don't do that. Because that's an effective way of doing it.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be, and for a second, you think it might be a DDT because, the front face lock, but no, this is a double team gourd buster, and I dig it. So then right underneath that, it says, Beeline for success, Sting's plan for UWF domination.
Yeah. Very early Sting article.
Yeah.
Beeline. And then, at the top of the magazine, you see Kerry Von Erich.
No, it's Kevin.
Or Kevin Von Erich, rather. I see only good things ahead. Well, how wrong you are.
Well, I mean, at least for... I mean,
he lived.
So. Yeah, if he's talking about himself, but...
Yeah.
Let's just jump right into this book here.
He had two dead brothers by then, didn't he? By 88, wasn't the second one dead?
Well, if we're talking wrestling brothers, David was already dead. David passed, and Mike was already passed.
So, yeah.
And then, what's his face? Chris passed away in 90.
Yeah.
So I have a question here. Real quick, just a quick thing here. So that has a subscription page here. It's like, oh, you can buy these deals. There's this picture here that I've never seen this actual photo, like this actual cover of this book in color, but it's the picture of Hulk Hogan, and it says, Hulk Hogan defeats Harley Race, how fate took greatness out of this violent feud. And it looks like Hulk Hogan is wearing a turban, and every time I've always seen, I think he's wearing the crown, Harley's crown, but it always looks like he's wearing a turban here. And that actually, that's a magazine I want to read. Doesn't it? I mean,
wow, yeah.
I want to read that mag. That's one I've always seen, and I want to read that one. And I got it. We got to find that one.
Looks like it's September of 87.
It's in 87. It's a you know, because that was just during the height of my wrestling after mags. When I was a kid.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So let's get into it here. We get our letters page. I do want to point out this quick letter here from an angry woman from Australia. I'll just read this and then we can comment on it, okay? I'm writing to let the editors of this magazine and sister publications know that you must be the most biased and hypocritical people I've ever come across.
Oh, man.
Every wrestler that's in the WWF has been at some time in the other promotions. When they leave and head to the WWF, all hell breaks loose with you people. He or she is treated to your unfair treatment towards the WWF. When they are with the promotions you snuggle up to, they're up-and-coming stars. You say McMahon thinks his fans are stupid. You people think we're complete imbeciles. Give the real fans unbiased reports and treat all promotions fairly. I know some wrestlers deserve criticism for their behavior, but it surely applies to everyone, not just those who are in the WWF. If you cannot do your job properly, hang up your poison pens.
Wow. Hang up your poison pens.
I like that. I want that on my tombstone. Hang up your poison pens. Yeah. No, this woman's mad. She's mad.
And I'm surprised they published it.
They'll publish these kind of letters. They'll publish those letters. Anything else you want to say about that? Because I don't know. I just felt that was a very incendiary letter.
Yeah, that was while you were doing that.
Oh, did you find the magazine?
Not only did I find it. Your order was placed. I bought the magazine on eBay.
No, you bought the WWF.
No, I didn't. No, that just shows up because Do you love the eBay app? Yes, of course I love it. No thanks. But look at that. Paid. Boom.
Let me see. Did you guys get credit card information? I don't want to see that.
No, that's not on there. But yeah, boom.
Paid. Oh, okay. Well, I don't see it.
Scroll down.
Oh, there it is. All right.
And it's not a turban. He's wearing like he's bleeding from the head and he's got a bandage on it. Yeah,
Do we know that for sure?
That's what it looks like.
Okay, see, now we need to look at that picture. We need to get that because it's hard to tell because the bandage is white.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the background of the photo of the
and he's got a weightlifting white weightlifting belt, and it says how fit. Well, we will talk about it when I get the magazine.
Hot damn! I can't wait.
Yeah. I just spent $10 on one magazine. That's something I normally do, but it was an impulse buy. So.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I owe you lunch or something.
Yeah, from All Star Comics.
Where's that? Is that out here?
The seller of the account and he's whatever.
Let's put him over.
I
feel like that's a place
I bought it while you were reading that article, and yeah.
Well, screw you, women from Australia. We're buying more of these books with their poison pens.
Not only that, but we just did a preview for the next episode. I think.
I like that.
Unless it doesn't come by the time we record it, I don't know.
Which it probably won't.
Maybe it will.
You know, we take a long time to record.
Yeah,
so we'll figure it out.
Yeah, because by the time this one airs, it'll be the following week of after 2 weeks after we record it. We won't be recording the next one for like another 3 weeks. I'll probably have it by then.
So real quick, editor's notebook. Stu Sachs talks about, and there's this one of these this article, one of these segments in Inside Wrestling that I never liked because it's always hard to read because it's just like a bunch of type.
Typewriter font. Typewriter font, and it's like on like. College ruled paper is what it looks like.
Yeah.
And like the half the ink is missing. And it's like, I don't want to read it.
But it's only one page. And however, they do talk about Mr. T as the referee.
Oh.
Back in 87. Do you remember this at all?
No.
See, I never remembered that. I remember them talking about it all the time in the books, but I was like, did I just not watch wrestling when that happened?
Yeah.
I feel like that was something that like happened without me knowing.
I remember Mr. T involved in wrestling, but by the time I was old enough to like watch it every week and really follow it, Mr. T was not only like not in wrestling, he was like not even relevant in pop culture.
He was not even in the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
He was just a reference.
Like, A-Team might have still been on the air, but nobody was watching it. And like, yeah.
How long did A-Team go till?
I think A-Team went to like 88 or 89. It went pretty long.
Really?
Yeah.
On the Road with Craig Peters talks about the stock market crash from October of 1987.
Yeah.
Which he's like, immediately I thought to check in with Paul Ellering, Jim Cornette, and J.J. Dillon. The three richest managers that will talk to us. And so they talked to Paul Ellering. Paul Ellering's like, I didn't lose any money because I'm the smartest man because I know how to do stocks. And he gives a bunch of advice.
Oh.
He gives us some insight into the stock market.
I didn't realize that Paul Ellering was all into the stock.
Oh, Paul Ellering was super business, man.
Yeah.
Because not only was he the manager, but he was like when he'd be walking around with a newspaper, that was the Wall Street Journal. And that's what he legitimately would read in the locker rooms. Like, mm-hmm. That's it. He knew how to save his money to the point where he could just do sled dog races and freeze his eyeball.
Oh.
And that's what he did. So Paul Ellering is the fucking man.
He was like the legit manager, right? It wasn't like just like a gimmick. He was actually the Road Warriors' legit manager.
He helped get them Zubaz, I think.
Yeah. Like, he was the man. He was the man who pulled all the strings. And yeah.
Shout out to Paul Ellering.
Yeah. And I enjoy that he's back on TV in NXT. And I just wish they would do more with that team.
They would, yeah. I mean, it sucks. What's going to happen too is that I think when he gets to the main, when they eventually get to the main roster, he probably won't come with.
Yeah, it'll probably be done with, and that's too bad because he's awesome.
Because he's awesome and he's really good on interviews. I mean, granted, he doesn't do anything physical anymore because he's in his mid sixties. But yeah. Although he did take a bump, I think at the one takeover, he took a super kick.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, he's still willing to mix it up.
He could take a super kick.
He could take a super kick. You know, it's just like laying down.
Yeah,
I guess I wouldn't know. I never.
He's not taking a power bomb.
Yeah, he's not taking a fucking Death Valley driver or some shit.
He's just getting kicked in the head.
Yeah. So Jim Cornette goes, I don't care. I own everything because it's Jim Cornette.
Well, it wasn't his mother's money anyway.
Yeah, so. His mom was the richest.
Yeah.
And then J.J. Dillon's like, look, I'm not going to say anything about losing any money, but I'm going to say that I kind of made money because you got to kind of know what to do. He's very, very vague. And I do like that he talks exclusively about... He does talk exclusively about Tully Blanchard Enterprises.
Oh, yeah, because it was probably booming. Yeah.
which what exactly would be Tully Blanchard Enterprises outside of just Tully?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have, like, what, I mean, on TV at least, did they talk about him being other things than just him, just JJ managing him? Like, what else did he do?
I remember years later in BCW, there was Buchanan Enterprises. And when Troy the Boy told me that he wanted to recruit Cindy Sin to be the manager of Buchanan Enterprises, I was just thinking, like, if you're going to rip off Tully Blanchard, you might as well go all out and get the woman, like, manager and all that. Yeah, do it. So,
yeah. So we have our news segment here. There's a very mixed bag here, and I do want to point out a few items here. Strikeforce has won the tag titles. They won again to beat the Hart Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kevin Von Erich won the world-class title from El Perez, but then he got stripped of it because reasons. Greg Valentine has re-signed with the WWF.
Yeah, this was pretty interesting because he's like, they were like, yeah, we'll give you more title shots. You have to sign.
I cannot think of a single title shot he received after 1985.
Yeah.
I am 100%. I'm almost 100% of that. I can't see him ever.
The only time I can remember him like even like competing for a title was, I gotta imagine he was in the Intercontinental title tournament that eventually was won by Mr. Perfect.
Well, look, he was also in the world title tournament at WrestleMania 4.
Yeah, at WrestleMania
there was 4. That.
Yeah.
But I mean, going up directly against Hogan or even the Warrior or Savage, maybe Savage. I mean, I know they've wrestled at certain points. Actually, Randy Savage and Greg Valentine wrestled in a very infamous match in 96 where the match consists of Greg Valentine giving Randy Macho Man the match was coming up. The end of the match was coming right up towards the end of the first hour of Nitro going into the second hour. So Greg Valentine gives Macho Man a back suplex. They're both out. And Macho Man gets up first and gives Valentine the elbow and wins the match right when the fireworks go off and shit.
Wow.
That's an interesting moment. Old Timers Battle Royal. Actually.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, I didn't think Lou Thesz is going to be wrestling for WWF.
No, maybe he did, but here, you want to know something here. I recall about this. I think this particular Battle Royal led to some major heat between, ongoing heat between Vince and Randy Savage because Randy wanted Angelo Poffo to compete. And Vince wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
And I think that was really a thing that Randy held over Vince for a long time.
Why wouldn't he let him?
I don't know.
It's like an old timers battle royal. Just throw him in there. I guess maybe because, I don't know. I guess they were feuding. promotions at one point, but I mean, that was long gone, so
whatever. It's crock of shit.
Yeah,
crock of shit. Let's see here, and then I'll just jump right to the sad news of Mad Dog Vachon got hit by a car, and then they had to
I didn't realize that, like, so yeah, I knew that he was hit by a car and I knew that his leg was amputated, but they said he was found in a ditch after lying in it for unconscious for 8 hours.
I read that, and I was like, I knew that he got hit by the car, but I didn't know he lay there for 8 hours.
Yeah,
holy fucking shit.
Yeah,
and then he continued to and he lived after that.
Yeah,
and even participated in a thing where they ripped off his fucking leg. Yeah,
Diesel ripped off his leg.
Which, unexpected and awesome.
Yeah,
that was when I watched that on pay-per-view live. That match, by the way, is really good.
It is. It's
Shawn
really
Michaels
good.
And Diesel from Good Friends, Better Enemies.
Yeah, because that was like at a time where they weren't really doing that kind of stuff. And then they were like, just go out and do it.
And they fucking did it. And it was awesome.
Yeah. What a great match.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of my favorite moments involve Kevin Nash. I gotta like thinking about Kevin Nash now, like I gotta give him his props. He was the man.
Kevin Nash is hilarious. Kevin Nash is charismatic as fuck. And Kevin Nash is smart.
Yeah.
Because he has taken, I mean, granted, I'm certain he has a lot of problems from wrestling and stuff like that, you know, maybe some physical stuff. I mean,
just being big in general.
Just being big guy.
Problems, you know.
But he's also managed to continue to be like, just make, I think, I mean, he's fucking rich as fuck, probably.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's involved and, you know, and he lives that life, man. And that's. And he's entertaining, and it is a bummer when you do see him show up though, and like they like, but the whole thing with him and Punk, mm-hmm. like him coming back, like that was just like, we didn't need that.
No,
like, I like you, Kevin Nash, but just because you get one big pop at a Rumble doesn't mean you need to come back. So
go ahead and be in the Rumble from time to time and come out and make an appearance, but I don't want you getting involved in the main events anymore.
You could stay away from that. We don't need you to be in this.
But for crying out loud, X-Pac, get him on 205 Live. They need an X-Pac on 205 Live. That's what I feel.
No, definitely.
Yeah, like X-Pac should be involved in 205 Live.
Well, shit, they hired Tajiri.
Yeah, get X-Pac.
X-Pac is like in really good shape.
Oh, X-Pac's like the best shape of his life. Like way better now than what he was like as a worker. Like get him in there, get him on 205 Live. He would have some good matches with some of these guys, and he could put younger guys over.
Well, yeah, he could put guys over. He could, you know, people know him. They would fucking mark out. It would. He might. Definitely draw some interest, man.
Yeah, I would watch 205. I would definitely like tune into 205 Live more, knowing that if X-Pac was wrestling somebody. Yeah.
So the insider with Eddie Ellinger, this is him just talking about why a shame that Hulk Hogan hasn't given more shots to Greg Valentine. Are we still harping on this?
They got a picture of Hogan wrestling Valentine.
Yeah, the last time that ever happened. Liz Hunter, who I also don't think is real, is talking to Ronnie Garvin. Who gives a shit?
And there's another ad for the slant-eyed slaughter.
Oh man. Then we have the news from the wrestling capitals, and we have a bunch of matches that occurred. I do like here a late 87 match featuring Hogan versus DiBiase.
Yeah.
DiBiase getting some shots. And then also in the WWF in New York, I believe, and I want to believe that this might have been a main event. Superstar Graham versus Butch Reed in a cage.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Woof.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Well, I mean, this was when Superstar could still barely walk enough to do a match, which probably just consisted of him doing punches and not leaving his feet and doing a bear hug or something. Like, I remember like when he first came back, he could only do a sleeper because he couldn't even like lift the guy up.
Yeah.
I think that's how badly he was injured.
How the heck did they get those two in a cage? Oh my god.
Well, they had to say that was like
how did Superstar, like, because back then you had to like climb out of the cage. I'm guessing he went through the door.
He walked out the door. He walked out the door. Yeah, this is when he was feuding with Slick and all those guys, because then eventually One Man Gang took him out. Or no, it was Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
Valentine and One Man Gang beat him up for some reason. Also, here's a match I would have liked to have seen. I don't know why, but Randy Savage beat Killer Khan.
It's funny that you point that out. I wanted to see on this one, the Nashville show, you had Randy Savage defeat Harley Race.
That's a match. That's a team up. That's a pairing you don't see very often either.
Yeah. I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah. Give me those rare tapes.
Savage versus Khan, Savage Race. Yeah.
I like it.
Wow. Just knowing that that actually happened makes me smile.
I just want all the house shows on TV. I want them all. I want
to
see them. I
know you have to assume that somebody was there taping them. I don't think that was the case.
Yeah. Oh, 87 house shows, man. Good times.
That was a place to be. Nashville, Tennessee in 1987.
So Matt Brock's plain speaking, basically, the imaginary Matt Brock being the grumpy guy to talk about wrestling. And he's talking about just a bunch of random stuff here. But the one that stands out the most is he talks about Adrian Adonis. Okay. Adrian Adonis at this time is in the AWA. And he just starts it off with, Adrian Adonis makes me sick, and any red-blooded American male with any respect for himself should feel the same way. Because, fuck, I'll just read this whole thing. This is just a quick thing. If there's a fatter, more disgusting wrestler in the sport, I don't want to see him. Yes, I am considering Abdullah the Butcher. Compared to Adonis, Abdullah's got muscle tone. Adonis once had the tools to become a great star, and he wasn't in bad shape. Quite obviously, he couldn't keep his face out of the refrigerator. And is now tremendous athletic skills have been rendered practically useless. What happened to Adonis shouldn't happen to anyone. Lose some weight, Adrian, or they'll soon roll you out of the ring and right into your grave.
Well, didn't really happen that way, but
no, yeah, it didn't.
He went to his grave.
He didn't
get a chance to turn his weight around. But
you know, I will say this though: for as big as he was at this time, he was still pretty.
Yeah.
Bumped really good.
Yeah, he was good. He worked really well. I watched some of those AWA matches on ESPN when they were on, and yeah, he was okay.
Could you imagine today that happening? Like, in a way where if you just had, I don't know, take somebody with, like, an average physique, like, I don't want to say Kevin Owens, but, or no, maybe Kevin Owens. Let's say Kevin Owens,
and
right?
He just let himself go.
And Kevin Owens literally just... I mean, granted, I don't think they would let him be on TV if he just got turned into Adrian Adonis.
Yeah, because like Adrian Adonis, early Adrian Adonis was not like he was jacked or anything, but he had a decent build.
He had a wrestling, he was just a leaner guy, and then he just became morbidly obese.
I'm trying to think of like who I can even think that happened to outside of wrestling, like just to compare it.
Me.
Well. Famous people.
Famous enough.
Like Russell Crowe. Like, but even like he's way fatter than but Russell Crowe. Have you seen Russell Crowe lately? And Val Kilmer, like those.
I think Val Kilmer had some health problems.
Yeah,
Russell. That's another thing too. Is when you kind of get like, it's talking from some experience, you know, from having a health problem, you kind of like.
Oh, I know the perfect example.
Oh, okay.
Kathleen Turner. That's what happened to Adrian Adonis. What happened to Kathleen?
She went full Turner?
Oh, yeah. She went full Adonis.
She went full Adonis.
Kathleen Turner went full Adrian Adonis. If you go back and you watch like Serial Mom, Kathleen Turner was pretty hot. And then if you look at her now.
What does she do now?
She makes appearances on shows from like time to time. She was in that show Californication for a season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's a big girl. And Kathleen Turner went full Adrian Adonis. That's who I can compare her to now.
The full Adonis.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's take our break real quick and we'll come back. We'll talk about Sting.
I'll pull up Kathleen Turner photos so you could see in the break.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
And we are back. And we have a cool pinup of Ronnie Garvin to look at.
Well, they do the capsule profile.
Yeah.
Because Ronnie Garvin just won the NWA title, so we're having Garvin fever. That's
I have Garvin fever all the time. That's a thing. That's a real thing. I have it.
What do you just like constantly play sharp dressed man and have a have a Barney Rubble haircut.
I go everywhere with a towel around my neck, and I give people the Garvin stomp.
I give everything the Garvin stomp. I'm just stomping everything like five times.
Yeah. I refer to myself as Hands of Stone.
I'm constantly beating up Frenchie Martin.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Frenchie Martin. So let's jump right to this article here. Beeline to success. Sting's plan for UF. I keep saying Sting's plan for UWF domination.
Domination.
So cool photo, right?
Yeah. Cool photo. Awesome photo. Just him flexing his muscles from like the early 80s. He still has armpit hair, which is a good time.
Well, that kind of takes you out of it, doesn't it? Because like, if you're doing a Photoshop, why would you just not just hide that? Because it's like, it's not like...
We got to hit up Stu Sachs on Twitter and be like, what the hell happened here?
Because this looks weird. Because it's like, it looks like it's not supposed to be there, but it's like a big hanging tuft.
Yeah.
Like it's like he's like it's a lot. It's uncomfortably.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortably visible.
It is distracting.
And I mean, it would be a perfect picture of Sting from 1987 otherwise. But so basically UWF's just about, you know, very close to being over with at this point. You know, they're already bought by Crockett and everything. So, but Sting, you know, Sting's very very prominent on the NWA shows and at this point. And, you know, he's on his way to becoming a big star. Yeah, I'm just talking about how he's going to be, you know, on his way to, you know, winning matches and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, he was in the Western States tournament and he lost to Black Bart, which he should be embarrassed. You know, who don't lose to Black Bart? What else? You know, it talks about his UWF TV title reign and how he helped Shane Douglas win the belt from Eddie Gilbert, even though he lost it to Gilbert, I think. Yeah, so yeah, let's just talk about him being on the way to stardom.
I need to go back and watch more early Sting UWF.
Well, we don't have. That's the thing. They haven't put that up yet.
Yeah,
but you can watch a lot of NWA Sting.
Yeah,
like that's kind of cool. But I do wish they would put like from like 85 to the end of just the Mid-South UWF, and I just want to watch that because I want to go back and watch the. That's like Jim Ross at his best, you know, or, you know, at the height of his Jim Rossness, for sure. You know, Dr. Death and Eddie Gilbert and the Freebirds and just all these awesome people. One Man Gang, you know, Teddy Biasi still hanging around, the Fantastics, the Street Herders, Coco Beware's there too.
Wow.
Yeah, there's some good stuff going on, man. I want to check that out. But I do like this photo. This is actually a really great photo of Sting press slamming Rick Steiner. Which I feel like that's something that probably didn't happen after like 1989 or even sooner. Like I felt like that never happened. This is like the last time Rick Steiner was ever press slammed. He's not the kind of guy that you would think would be press slammed.
No, because he's going to be in tag matches later on and they're not press slamming.
I do like though. I like this photo. Because of the action, but also look at the background.
Yeah, who is that guy?
Is that a guy just doing a gimmick or is that a manager? I can't tell.
I can't tell either.
Who would that be?
It's a guy in a full, like, blown tuxedo with a top hat. It could be Eddie. That could be Eddie Gilbert, now that you mention it. But like,
why is he so far away?
Why has he got, like, a big cane? Like, I don't understand that. I don't remember.
Also, he should be, like, up to the ring. That's what's so strange about it.
Yeah.
I gotta take a picture of that.
Yeah,
a lot of interesting photos in this article here. I like that. Here's our ratings, and the ratings of the Inside Wrestling are done much differently. Mm-hmm. You get an extra 5 slots to see to rank people.
We got 15, top 15, most hated. Number 15 was Kevin Kelly. Yeah, I jumped there.
I was like, wait, what? Oh, that's right. Yeah, Kevin Kelly, aka Nails.
Yeah, that's why
Nails hating it up in the AWA.
I wanted to mention that. Yeah,
Honky Tonk is number 1, of course. This is a peak Honky Tonk. Man,
more hated than Lex Luger and Ric Flair.
Yeah. He's more hated than all of the all 3 of the listed horsemen.
It's funny they have Savage as most popular over Hogan and Dusty Rhodes.
Well, I think it's just when he just turned face, so people were like, "Yeah, let's get him in there," you know. Mm. But Hulk probably wasn't happy about that. And then let's see, who else is in these extra slots here? Killer Khan getting in at number 11 in the WWF. Your AWA slots has just got the randomness of people. Dick Slater. Ooh, Dick Slater in AWA. I forgot he was in there. Maybe he was in the Mid-South stuff. because this is also when like the territories are still around, obviously, and you know, NWA also included Puerto Rico and Portland and Florida and UWF and this, that, and the other thing.
Weird seeing Ronnie Garvin is the number one guy in the NWA.
I know. But yeah, so that's your listings, and then you have your title matches and stuff like that. I used to love looking at these too. Just looking at like all the who won what titles, and you know, just looking at the random promotions that they would cover in here, because they'd always, sometimes they're different, sometimes they weren't, you know, but it's always fun to find out who the English middleweight champion was, Flying Fuji Yamada.
Oh.
And the Central States tag team champions. So there you go. Tully and Art take the NWA belts. Mm-hmm. Rock and Roll Express. Time for them to split up because they suck ass.
I like the photo of them. Like, I love that promo photo that they have.
I do like it.
And Robert Gibson's like holding his chin.
Let's be honest. They have that's probably the best looking photo.
Yeah.
The best looking photo they'll take. You know, as far as like where you can say that a bunch of girls might be into them.
Yeah.
But most of the time, I can't understand.
I don't understand how Ricky Morton was like a heartthrob, because like he's just like, he's a short, squatty little guy. Like, I don't know.
He's in pretty good shape here, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Robert Gibson, he always had that weird eye.
Yeah.
I like that we spend a lot of time talking about the handsomeness of the Rock and Roll Express. But really, I mean, what else you got to talk about?
Are they going to have the wandering eye of Robert Gibson in the DLC? That's what we're going
to
find out.
Oh man, wouldn't it be great if you can get that as like an option to create? And you'd be like, oh, I made Robert Gibson. You put Shawn Michaels in there.
Yeah.
You get all the wandering eye wrestlers. Which I think it's just those two. But yeah, no, I mean, Tully and Iron won the belts. I remember this is because Robert Gibson, Ricky Morton got the shit kicked out of him, and Robert Gibson had to defend the belts by himself, and that's how they lost. And they're just basically like, yeah, they probably should split up because they're idiots. I don't know. I was never a rock and roll guy.
Nah, neither was I.
I'm a Road Warriors guy.
Yeah.
I'm a Midnight Express guy. But rock and roll.
Yeah, Midnight Express. Yeah, not rock and roll.
Yeah. Kevin Von Erich sees only good things ahead.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what?
You say so.
Here's one of the photos I like. And it sucks though because it's a bad shot of the audience because you can see a lot of empty seats.
Yeah.
But Kevin versus, well, this is him versus, okay, you know what? This is him versus Perez, but I thought it was against him versus Noir the Barbarian from earlier in the 87. And it's like in Texas Stadium, and there's like a huge, it's like, you know, just, it looks really cool because it's an open air place, but I'm certain not all those seats were sold. But nonetheless, I did want to point that out. AWA stuff. This is before they hated the AWA. Paulie Dangerously, I wanted Lawler and Dundee to win the AWA belts.
Good for you.
Well, this is the thing that I always found interesting about this, this thing is that Jerry and Lawler and Bill Dundee won the belts from the Russian team, but mm-hmm. they won it from Soldat Ustinov and Doug Summers because Boris Zukov already went to the WWF.
Yeah.
And they basically threw in a random Doug Summers, RIP Doug Summers, to have this match. So I always thought that was interesting. But they say that, you know, Paulie's like, and young Paulie here too.
Yeah, look at him. Full head of hair, full skinny.
Lean hirsute Paulie Dangerously is very excited for them to win the belts because now his guys, Tommy Rich and who else is he fucking around with the Midnight Express.
Yeah,
the original Midnight Express, Randy Rose and Dennis Condrey. He's like, yeah, man, let's fucking get those belts. They were still having scaffold matches too at that time. Do you think it's possible in the WWE game that they'll ever do a scaffold match? No, I don't think they would.
I don't think they ever will.
Do you think they might do War Games next year?
I would love that. Yeah, if they're going to have a War Games, let's do it in the game.
I wonder how they're going to do it, because if they're already having trouble doing an 8-man match,
yeah,
which they didn't make one for PS3, but they gotta. I think they're going to have to do like an overhaul if they're going to include that in some way. It's going to have to be something drastic because that's two rings with a fucking cage over it.
Yeah. Two rings with a cage, and then this current War Games though is going to be three different teams. So
yeah, but you can maybe you can do variations on it. I don't know. I mean, they did that the 1 year.
Yeah,
they did that the 1 year with the fucking, what was it, Warrior, the NWO, the Wolf, and the Wolf Pack, and the NWO Hollywood.
Yeah,
I think so. It was Warrior, somebody.
I don't know.
It was DDP.
I was probably not watching by then.
Oh, I definitely wasn't watching. One-on-one, when they tap the phone lines.
Yeah.
And we get to hear...
from Mighty Wilbur.
Mighty Wilbur.
Which is probably the first time we've ever mentioned Mighty Wilbur in this podcast.
He was the NWA hillbilly.
Yeah.
You had Silo Sam, the AWA hillbilly. You had the hillbillies in WWF. And then you had Mighty Wilbur, the NWA hillbilly, who actually, and if you watch some older NWA from around this time, so he debuts... He debuts as a heel, quote heel,
yeah,
because he's being managed by Paul Jones.
Yeah,
and they bring him out, and he basically just wins a bunch of matches. But he's kind of like he's supposed to be heel, but he's just a nice hillbilly, yeah. And he's just like, and he actually the wrestler is terrible, but the role, like, he plays like a guy who's very modest,
yeah,
and very much like, oh man, I've never been anywhere bigger than a walnut farm from California, so here I am, and blah blah blah, and you know, oh hey, I'm shaking these guys' hands, you shake the hands of the opponent, you know, and then he beat the guy with a splash and all that stuff, and then Paul Jones is like, you gotta keep stomping him, and he's like, no, I already won the match. He's like, no, keep stomping him, and then that's how they kind of, you know, they kind of break apart, because Paul Jones's army, you know, at that time only consisted of Ivan Koloff, the Wardler was still hanging around.
Oh, good.
Tijo Khan there. Tijo Khan's gone in the game too.
Yeah.
Not in my game. I got to make Tijo Khan. But
yeah.
So, but I do want to point out something here, and this is actually kind of ties in with a joke, a wrestling urban legend. So Wilbur's nickname for Paul Jones was Puddinhead. He would always call him Puddinhead, and Paul Jones would react to it like, don't call me Puddinhead. And, you know, they basically run this joke into the ground in this thing here, because he just a bunch of times he's like, call.
I guess I got to read this article, because I didn't really, I kind of skipped over it.
Yeah. Well, I knew this from just watching the TV show. So he calls him Puddinhead all the time, and Paul Jones would be like, Puddinhead, don't call me Puddinhead. But from what I've read is that one point, the wrestling legend goes, is that one point, NWA wrestlers are on a plane. Paul Jones is sleeping, and Manny Fernandez is sitting next to him. Manny Fernandez gets up, takes Paul Jones's hat, like the hat he used to wear, in the box, and takes a big shit in it, puts the hat back in the box, and then sits next to Paul Jones like nothing ever happened.
Oh, okay.
And so it kind of makes sense that they might want to call him Puddinhead. I don't know if he put the hat on.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was like, doo-doo-doo-doo, my hat, Puddin'. You know, and so maybe that's just a rib. That's a Dusty rib, you know, because Dusty.
Yeah.
That seems like something Dusty would do.
Now that I know the backstory behind the name, yeah.
Well, we don't know. I don't know if that's the backstory.
Yeah.
I don't know for certain, but knowing that story, because it's on the Wrestling Sleaze list, knowing that alleged story and hearing him call him Puddinhead kind of ties in. So we've talked way too much about that.
No, I'm glad we did, though.
Actually, it was much more entertaining than anything with...
anything that they had to read.
Anything else. Yeah, mostly David San Martino-based stories that we've talked about in the past. So now we just kind of go through the rest of our stuff here. I don't think there's anything else to this book.
Yeah, I think this is all like the continuation of the articles when it's like, go to this page to read the rest. So
I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it anymore. Here's Savage and Killer Khan.
Oh, wrestling. Killer Khan, yeah.
There we go. There's some photographic proof. I'll watch that. Just could put that on DVD, guys.
Please.
Because I heard that the unreleased DVD they put out is really good, the WWF.
Oh, yeah. I was reading the matches that are going to be on. I was like, yeah, that sounds pretty good.
There's a lot of cool stuff. And there's still stuff on there that they could probably definitely put on there that hasn't maybe been uncovered yet. But hopefully, these Randy Savage matches that we're talking about. I'm sure you might be able to find this on YouTube, too. But we want them to actually put it on a DVD.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It just ends. The greatest photo ever. It's a Ric Flair... More Than a Man, an Attitude, and it's a shirt. And you can get it in white tee, you can get it in black tee, or you can get it in blue sweater.
Mm.
And it's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like it's got triangles, and the font is very like 90s, like laser kind of font. This screams 90s, even though this is like 1988.
No, it's eight. This is late 80s. Yeah. This is like futuristic 80s.
Yeah, futuristic 80s. And it just says Rick. And then underneath it says Flair, and it's just awesome.
But it's like Flair is in like these triangles, and then Rick is just in the... Yeah, man, that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Because they used to sell these, the Horseman shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? They used to sell those in these magazines. And this is probably like a continuation of that, because these are basically the same colors that you would get for the Horseman shirt.
Yeah, I want this shirt so bad, but I looked already.
Oh, you did?
Looked on eBay.
This has already been thrown out from a Goodwill somewhere in North Carolina. It's already in the compost heap.
I need to get a graphic artist to just recreate this logo so I can make it.
Well, I wish that places like Pro Wrestling Tees or Barbershop Window would just recreate these shirts.
Yeah.
Because there's actually a really, I was watching the NWA stuff from 86, and Nikita Koloff comes out with the best shirt. It's just it's a yellow shirt with a picture of Nikita on it, but it's Nikita's yellow because it's just basically with him, and he's got the red out, the red, the singlet and everything on there, and it just has his signature on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they ever sold it, but I want that one too. I want all those shirts. I mean, if they sold it today, I would seriously consider buying a Billy Jack Haynes shirt.
Yeah, I would. I would totally buy one.
I would buy a Billy Jack Haynes shirt.
Yeah, I want a John Nord shirt.
from what era? You want?
I want Nord the Barbarian.
Did he have a logo?
No, but
I just want his fro.
Yeah,
I just want his fro, and then I want on the back.
I'll take a Yukon John Nord though. I'll do that one too. That
what would it say on the back? What would be his phrase?
Read the Bible.
Read two things. Number one, read the Bible. Number two, read the Bible.
Read the Old Testament and read the New Testament.
But it's a John Nord shirt, so you people are like, but I don't understand.
Yeah.
you on the back, you promote Christianity, but on the front, you're talking about a wrestler. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. So I guess that's it for wrestling, Inside Wrestling from February 1988. Glad you picked this one up. Oh, yeah. Did we skip the Savage story?
Oh my God, we sure did. How did we skip that? Because it's only on one page, and then you got to continue.
That's why? Because this is the fucked up. You know what? We better talk about the Savage story real quick.
Look at that. We got bonus footage. The whole reason why I bought the magazine, it completely skipped over it.
So I just want to. I did read this a little bit.
Yeah.
Basically, the reason. So Savage just turned face. Yeah. So why do you think that Jesse thinks that he's a wimp?
Because he's a face.
Because he's a face.
And he's listening to the fans.
And he's listening to Hogan.
Yeah.
Most of all.
Oh, yeah. Because he's like, you're going to realize Hogan only cares about himself. And he when he sees a threat to his title, he becomes friends with him so they don't challenge him for his title. And I was like, and he's like, he did that to Paul Orndorff. And I was like, oh, Jesse makes a valid point.
Jesse makes many valid points.
Yeah.
And Hulk Hogan, the character this time, I'm talking about Hulk Hogan, the character, is a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
So you can't trust that guy.
Yeah, and I like how Jesse points out that the fans cheer him, but he still doesn't let it affect his announcing. And it's true, because Jesse Ventura, I don't remember there ever being a face turn, but in his WWF, even though he was a heel announcer, he got cheered all the time. He would
stand up and just they would just be like, what was the WrestleMania 3? They're just like, guys, Jesse Ventura. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, and the crowd's going nuts because it's fucking Jesse.
Yeah. And then he made a point, and he was like, yeah, they cheer me. I don't let it affect my announcing. So
this maybe was written by him.
Yeah.
You know what? This probably was written by him.
I think it was written by him.
I believe it was.
I'm actually glad we read it last because, that's the reason why I bought the magazine. So it's the main event of the article of the issue.
So. Yeah. So, well, that's definitely it for this magazine. Inside Wrestling, February 1988. Anything else you want to say about it?
That's it.
That's it for this week's show. You can find me on Twitter at AngryHeroSean, as well as Instagram. Also, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get this show.
Yeah, we're available anywhere, but please rate us on Apple Podcasts. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, SweatpantsJoe, all one word. Like us on Facebook. Please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.
Do it.
And thanks for listening, and I ain't got time to bleed.